Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Yeah, it really is good to be here this morning. We're thinking of about a topic that has had me fascinated. I didn't realize how deep this topic was. And when Andrew asked me to share on it, I thought, I just got a few ideas. And I really got a bit lost in it. And it's absolutely awesome. And we're in Ephesians chapter 3, the church is going through the book of Ephesians, thinking about the church in Ephesians, and we're in chapter 3 of Ephesians, and we're going to read from verses 1 to 12, or I'll read from 1 to 13. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 to 13, and then we'll just delve into it. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard, can you see that on the screen? Yeah, okay. I'm on verse 3. Verse 2. Surely you have heard about this administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promised in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are in your glory. Wow, an amazing portion of scripture. We're thinking really of the manifold wisdom of God. And I'd just like to just give a little introduction to this. This portion of scripture divides into two. We need a bigger pulpit, Andrew. It divides into two. Verses 1 to 7 talks about Paul hears a secret. And then from verses 8 to 13, we see that Paul actually communicates that secret. He tells that secret out to others. And as we go into verse 1, his testimony is about this secret of Jesus Christ and the mystery that has been hidden for ages. And we come into verse 1 and 2, and we see his human responsibility. It's amazing. This is an epistle that talks about heavenly realities. And at the same time, Paul is in prison. I think his mindset must have been incredible, really. He must have been an incredible guy to be in prison and just realize what was actually going on in the heavenlies. And I think that can help us as Christians, not just to get bogged down in our own little circumstances, but to see what God is doing, what God is up to. And this is Paul. He's in prison there, and he's a prisoner, and he says, I'm a steward. I'm an administrator of God's grace. I'm an administrator of this mystery that God has revealed to me. He has caught something in his spirit. It's something that came by divine revelation. God spoke to him, and he testifies this. He spoke to some of the other apostles, the other sent ones out by God to serve God. He spoke to them also. And I love this about Paul. He doesn't get on a little bandwagon and say, I believe this and I'm going to do this and I'm going to try this out. I want to show you this. No, he says, as apostles in fellowship, we saw this mystery being revealed to us. And it's vital that you and I know that we know how God is speaking to us and what he said to us. And it's vital for Paul here. He says he's not alone. And one of the lovely things this morning is that we've heard about the possibility of having a new elder. There's a deacon on the way as well, which is a lovely mystery being revealed this morning. So this tremendous stuff. So we find that this mystery isn't something that was such a little secret that was so silent, but it's a mystery that really shows something that was previously unknown, something that was laid on the heart of God. And Paul receives this revelation by God's Holy Spirit. And the mystery is this, verse 6. I'm going to read this. It's an amazing verse. In verse 6, it says this. If you have your Bible with me, you can turn to it if you like. It says, this mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body and sharers together. Together, God is doing something amazing. He is forming a church, a body of people to be for the praise of his glory. And as we see that, we see that Christ is the head of this body. And Paul says, this revelation just didn't come because he studied it. This revelation didn't come because, you know, he went through the scriptures and searched the scriptures out. God spoke to him. And because he spoke to him, he had a message to say. And I think we need to catch on that when God speaks to us, that we share the message too. And I trust that God has spoken to us through Jesus Christ, knowing that him as our personal Savior. And he comes out with this real reality. It's not enough to know about Jesus, but we are responsible, you and I, if we know him, to share him with others. That's part of being a Christian. That's part of our Christian life. And he says this, although I am the least of all of God's people. He doesn't say I'm a nobody, because nobody's a nobody as far as God's concerned. We are somebodies. But he says, I'm the least of the least. This grace was given to me. He was absolutely amazed that God had called him to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. He'd seen something about Jesus. And I wonder if we have caught the same thing. I'm less than the least. And he says, I've been called to preach, to share the gospel. And with that, we find that he caught something that was on his heart. In verse 10, we read about the manifold wisdom of God. He caught something of the greatness of our Lord Jesus Christ. You could see his wisdom and power in creation. This is how God saw, this is how Paul, angels would have seen it. I'm sorry, I've got to jump in my slide there. So I'm going to backtrack. And what I want to share here is about the manifold wisdom of God. What was this manifold wisdom of God? How was it revealed to the angels who were good and bad? How did God show his wisdom? Well, first of all, of course, he showed it through his creation. They were there, probably. They saw some of what was happening. They realized they saw God's patient faithfulness in dealing with God's nation, the Jewish nation. And then we see in verse 8, we see, first of all, the angels see the means for the manifestation of God's wisdom. We see the resources that God had to reveal this wisdom. And it's the unsearchable riches of Christ. He says, although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. So what are these unsearchable riches of Christ? What was it did he catch? It's something that couldn't be traced out. And I like Kenneth West's definition of this, this word unsearchable. In Christ is the whole wealth of salvation he gives. This is unsearchable, not in the sense of inexhaustible, but rather it is unfathomable. Now, I can't get that one out. It's a Welsh one. I don't know what's going on there. But it's unfathomable. It's past finding out. And you just can't comprehend this amazing richness that's to be found in Jesus. The riches of the wealth of Christ. We have a full salvation Because in Christ, he has all the wealth that's needed for that salvation. It's seen in his manifold wisdom. It's unsurpassable. His glory is indestructible, and his grace is immeasurable. We are coming to a God in which there are no limitations. We're coming to a God who, by his grace, is incredible, unmeasurable. Where were you before Christ spoke into your life? And we see him as a God of grace. When he came to earth as a man, putting aside his glory and clothing himself in our humanity, he pours out in an overabundance of his riches upon us. We sometimes go around thinking, oh man, what's going to happen now? We should never panic, because God in his wisdom has things under control. And then we see the second thing of concern in the manifold wisdom of God, what the angels saw. And I must admit, I've been absolutely amazed at this. The angels see God's infinite majestic wisdom making man's salvation possible. I got lost in this one, but I hope you can bear with me. First of all, let's see something about man himself. Adam, the first man created in the Garden of Eden by God, blew it. He sinned against God, and there were consequences. And the consequences were that the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. So Adam was lost it for us, really, and he came under the punishment of death. And God must honor his own laws and punish the transgressor. He's a just God. And because he's a just God, what could be done? How could man be saved? And the angels must have wondered this, you know. How on earth can man really make it now? You've got Adam there, and there's Eve, and what have you. But how can God help them? Can God, because he is merciful, put aside the honor and demands of his law, of his justice? Can he put aside things of his holiness and his justice? Can he put that aside in order to save man? And I've just come out with a simple answer on that one. No. Because God is God. He's holy. He's just. He's perfect. And because he's God, how on earth can man be saved? How can you and I come to know Jesus Christ? How can you and I have a relationship with him? Well, awesome. God himself took the initiative. He provided a substitute for sinful man, a life for a life of your life. He gave himself as a perfect sacrifice. And how can this be? I've just done this, and it's a very simple illustration, really. Now, I do get complicated in my diagram, so bear with me. Work with me in grace on my life, if you like. But Jesus is a perfect substitute. Only Jesus is the perfect man with infinite dignity and worth. He was without sin, a perfect sacrifice. So we find that Jesus, God's co-equal, co-eternal Son, took our nature upon himself to obey the law which had broken for us. He took upon himself our sin, your sin, my sin. And this is what gives us hope this morning. It's not what we have done, it's what God has done for us. So let's try to hang on to that as we go into this next one. And we see that as he's a perfect sacrifice, a perfect substitute for us, Jesus, the perfect Son of God, perfect man, we have been made perfect in Jesus. Man, he's made sin for us, that we might be made righteous in God. I don't know how far you're with me this morning, but when you just think of that one, it just blows my mind personally. He was made sin. He took on himself my sin, your sin, our sin, so that we can have a life with God. He was made a curse for us so that we could be blessed. You and I are blessed of God if we know Jesus Christ this morning. We have a life in Him. We have all that we need in Him. We can draw from His eternal riches, His grace, His favor upon us, because He was our substitute. Because He was the one that stood in our place. He died our death, so that we might have life. Awesome. He endured poverty so that we can share in His abundance. This is our God. And you can imagine the angel. Well, I can imagine the angels. They must have been full of joy. They must have been absolutely blown out of their wings. I don't know if they have wings, but they must have been, you know, whatever. Because they were looking down and they were seeing there was a possibility for man to come into God's presence, into God's holy presence. Man who had sinned, who was away from God, lost from God. And God takes the initiative. He becomes a substitute for them. He takes their place. He takes your place. He takes my place. And He gives us life. What a Savior. And the angels, I don't know, I think they must have had a dance party there, really, because when they began to see this is awesome. And I just wonder if you and I have seen the awesomeness of this salvation. A third thing they saw, there was the mighty power. The angels see the mighty power of God in Christ forming one body, His church. And we've been talking about this. Or different people who have been speaking on Sunday mornings have been talking about this. I don't want to go into it too deeply. But His intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and the authorities in heavenly realms. This salvation, this substitution was to show not only to you and me, and to give to you and myself a salvation, but it was to show to the whole range, gamut of heavenly beings, the glory and the greatness of the wisdom of God. I should have paid someone here. Can someone just say amen? Please, come on. You're so dead this morning. Come on. I realize it didn't kick off 100%, but come on. Catch what God is doing. Catch what the angels would have seen. Where we were hopeless, they could see there was now hope. And it must have thrilled them. You know, it must have. They saw that the intent was now that God, through His church, right, it would show something to the rulers and the authorities. We are here so that God can show the heavenly beings what He's done. Amen. Oh, thank God for that. Yes. Oh, man alive. Boy, sorry. And the church just refers to the community of people who recognize that they recognize Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Lord, and they come together in an invisible body and in together as we are here. And I just like us to see a little bit of how we can see the church. This is the world. I'm a bit of mad when some of you know that we're missionaries and still at heart. And wow, around the world, from the beginning of when salvation came into being, God is forming a church, a body of people from every tribe, tongue, and ethnic group and nation. This is our God's plan. It's amazing. We are all different. We come from different nationalities. You're putting up with a Welshman this morning. God has given you grace for that. It's amazing. But really, when you just think that this plan has involved since the beginning of the declaration of salvation, before the world began, really. And then there's the church as individuals making up a local church, a group of individuals making up the local church, as you and me. And I've got this kind of diagram. Someone was going to draw me something, and it didn't quite work out. But this is just like a jigsaw here with a mass of people inside. And we're all in a jigsaw, mass of people inside. God is working out his plan. Now this is awesome, because here we see, if you just, I don't know, you can probably see, some of you will see it. I'm not to use this really as a big demonstration, but these are little individuals here. I like the ones that are pointing towards the center. But you can't live isolated as a Christian. You need one another. We need one another. And I'm going to give a plug here. Andrew hasn't asked me to do this, so okay, I'm going to get some brownie points here. We've been talking, Matt has been banging the drum on the community groups. Listen, we need community groups. Thank you, Andrew. Well, I got one of the elders with me on that. That's okay. We need to get involved in community groups, because we need one another, because together we are showing to the angel, to the heavenly beings, that we are one in Jesus Christ, that we love one another, that we are working together with one another so that we can extend his kingdom. Amen? Do you want me to repeat that again? Well, I'm not, because I don't think I could, but wow! This is awesome about our God. We need one another. Please don't try to live your Christian life. Oh, I come to church on a Sunday morning. I receive, and I love Andrew's. Well, that's another good commercial. I love Andrew's preaching. I love Matt, and I love the way Ben kicks off too. Oh, great, great, great. I'd say the three of you tonight. Oh, great, great, great. And then you go away, and that's it for the rest of the week. That's not Christianity, folks. That's not Christianity. Christianity is being lost in the wonder, the wisdom, and the glory, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's being lost like the angels. They saw something of the wisdom of God in the way that he's building his church. He's bringing people from every tribe and nation, and he's brought you and me. Whoa, come on. Oh, please, Jesus, help us see this morning. If I don't get anything else out this morning and I go away with my tail between my legs, let them catch this one. We need one another in this body. We can't live it alone, the Christian life alone. Okay, that's a good one. Five points for that. The manifold wisdom of God. And an interesting word, and I really got lost on this one, Andrew, confession. The Greek is fascinating on this stuff, but it's... Literally, it means an intricately embroidered pattern, or something marked with a great variety of colors, variegated colors. And it's awesome. And I just saw this church worldwide, as the thread that is woven in a tapestry. It's an embroidered pattern. Can you see this with me just for a moment? Now, I'm going to be prejudiced. In a town called Abergavenny, which is on the border of England and Wales, so it's neither here or there, but we won't go into that one. There's an amazing tapestry, and it's full of color. And it's long, it's been a special building. I recommend you to go to Wales, okay? So you see this tapestry. And I just saw this, and I thought, well, as the thread is interwoven, different colors, forming in a pattern that reveals a picture. And you and I in the body of Christ, we are interwoven one with another, and God is building a picture. He's revealing his glory. He's showing the angels and the principalities and the powers the wonderful wisdom that he has. Because you and I interconnect one with another. This is why we need community groups again. Another few points there. This is why we need community. Because we intertwine one with another to reveal God's glory, to reveal the wonder of who he is, to show to the angels above, oh, how great is our God. Yes, how great he is. Yeah, I started jumping now. I've got to try and calm it down. I'm not, but No, man. As individuals, we too are interwoven in that sense. You know, to be honest with you, I need you. I'm sorry for you guys, but you need me as well. Now, what I would love to do, right, I'd like to ask Andrew to come forward. I'm not going to do this, but I like him, and if I put my... Come on, Andrew. You're always my guinea pig. I'm missing Matt. I'd like to do this with Andrew. Come on, babe. I don't know which way we're going to go. It doesn't matter. Around we go. But we need one another, guys. You can come this way. That's better still. We need. But some people like to do that, don't they? They don't like to be too involved. Oh, folks. How God has united us together. He really, really has. Let's work together. Let's live this Christian life together. Let's get involved together. Amen? Okay, you can sit down. I did apologize to Andrew. I did apologize to Andrew. I'd probably go off tack. And I'm not going to give you all my sermon, but I think God's just spoken to us. He's spoken to me. I need you guys. Look, I'm sorry. You really do need me. So I'm going to do something now. This is quite crazy, really. I'm just going to invite you to stand a moment. Perhaps the band can come forward, right? I'm like a little frustrated preacher right now. I haven't given you a fraction of what was on my heart, but I think God is saying something, and I want to run with this. What I want to do is this. I just want to pray that God will really help us unite together so that we as a church, Grace Truro, can reveal the manifold glory of Jesus Christ to the heavenly beings above, and that we will break through at this time as a church to other places. I'm going to say Cornwall because that's part of the church vision, but my vision is the world, and we need as a church to see the world, and we need to go together and be involved. Amen? Now, if you are with me, you can say amen.
Amen.
Whoa, that's a good start. Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you this morning. I just don't know. Lord, we just like the angels when they stooped down, those cherubims over the Ark of the Covenant. Inside was the law. They looked on top of the mercy seat and saw the sprinkled blood. And they saw that, and they couldn't understand it. But they knew that you were doing something, God. And there are many things we don't understand, but we know you are doing something, God. And you have brought us together as individuals, some from different nations at this time. Some from places that we would never have dreamed of as a fellowship right now. And we just ask you, Jesus, that you will unite us together so that we will be to show, that we will be enabled to reveal your wisdom and your glory in and through us together. Help us, Lord Jesus, to purpose to live together. Not literally, of course, Lord, but to be together and to want to be in fellowship one with another. To be involved in the extension of your kingdom. To be involved in your work worldwide, Jesus. Can I get an amen on that one? Okay, nice. Okay, so I'm just going to do a second part on that one then. If you say amen, that means you are really, really to go for it. Yeah? Father, I just ask you right now for each one that said yes. Open the door for them so that they might catch that revelation of the mystery that has to be revealed to them for their lives as they go forward in what you've got for them in Jesus' name. Lord, I just pray right now that you will stem any excuses, anything that would just try to hinder what you want to do in their lives, in my life, in Janet and my life. Lord, and it doesn't matter how old or young we are right now, we just give ourselves back to you so that your glory will be revealed through us as a fellowship, as individuals, as through the elders, we pray. And we just want to thank you, Jesus, right now that you've heard us. Can I have an amen to that one?